All right, Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3, it's the first book in the Bible. Genesis, a couple pages over to Genesis chapter 3. Once you've found Genesis chapter 3, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Genesis chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 14, 15, and 16. If you'll read with me on verse 15, again, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Let's pray. Lord, again, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to the message this morning, be with preacher as he preaches. Lord, I pray just would have us this morning to pay close attention to what the message is. Lord, I pray that we'd use it, apply it in our lives. Well, thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Is like a ship that sails on the sea of time. The storms may come and the winds may blow and rock this ship of mine. But the reason my ship will never sink and today is still afloat, my compass is His precious word, and Jesus pilots my boat. I won't sail the stormy seas no more unless Jesus leads the way. I won't ever drift so far from the shore I can't hear what He has to say. I belong to a fleet that sails today on a glorious one-way trip. We'll land safely on shore to sail no more, for Jesus pilots my ship. My soul pulled into safety's port, my stern was torn apart. The bow of the vessel was so badly crushed, sin's waters flooded my heart. I had sailed so long on life's angry waves with my cargo of fear and despair. Then I called on His name and He lifted my blame. Now He pilots my ship everywhere. I won't sail those stormy seas no more unless Jesus leads the way. I won't ever drift so far from the shore I can't hear what He has to say. I belong to a fleet that sails today on a glorious one-way trip. We'll land safely on shore to sail no more, for Jesus pilots my ship. He pilots my ship.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. Now, we're a little bit late getting to the message part of the service this morning, but that's all right. And I will cut it a little bit till we get out at the regular time, so don't get too distracted. I don't know if we had a bulb go out or what. Did y'all see something take place? Oh, it got hit back there. That's all right. So we'll come back on in a little bit, and it'll be fine. It'll come back on. I'm just glad I didn't mess Tony up. Amen. Strange morning today, all right? But that's all right. And thank God this is not the norm. I've been in some places where this is the norm. Again, so, but anyway, I want you to notice verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I do not have a sermon by definition of what a sermon would be. I have a message this morning. I have a thought for you. That's all I got, just a thought. I knew that I would have much less time than usual, and so I didn't want to develop a full-length message. But I do want to just give you a thought this morning along the lines I think that fits with our baby day. I want you to look at that twice in the same verse. When God mentions bringing forth children, He uses the word sorrow. The word sorrow. Now, I want to speak to you on this subject, when God replaced sorrow with joy. When God replaced sorrow with joy. Father, would you please help us this morning? Our hearts have been blessed. It's been fun to see the little ones. And I pray now that the message will help us, Lord, to think about you and your plan and purpose for our lives in this world. And God, thank you for your book. Teach us from it this morning. I need you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll help me and bless me. And Lord, that you'd speak through me to all the folks sitting in the room today. Help us all to have a listening ear, what the Spirit might say to our heart today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. It's always fun to observe baby day. We have enjoyed seeing these little ones, and they put smiles on our faces. In fact, I'm not sure there's anything else that will put a smile on a person's face any quicker than a baby. I really don't know of anything. There might be something that just as much, but I mean, boy, a baby just puts a smile on a face quickly. Now, in our text, which is the first place in the Bible that the word children is mentioned. Okay, this is the first place right here. And that's always important when you're learning the Bible, the law of first mention. So with children on my mind, this is the first mention of the word children in the Bible. Now, it's in this verse that we find children associated with sorrow. Sorrow. Now, the scene that we are reading about in Genesis chapter 3 is set in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have just sinned against God, falling to the seduction and the temptation of Satan, disobeying God, eating of the forbidden fruit. And God has come down to check on His creation and to talk to them about their disobedience. And He found them hiding themselves, having covered themselves with aprons of fig leaves, and found them hiding. Whereas in the past, when He came to walk with them in the cool of the day, they always came out to meet Him. We're so anxious to see Him. But that's what sin does. Sin makes you run away from God, not come to Him. And so He now has dealt with the, understand that they've sinned. Of course, He knew that. And He got to them to talk about it. And God is, in these verses, in 14, 15, 16, and so forth, He is pronouncing the result of the sin, the consequences of the sin. Sin always has consequences. And Christian people need to be reminded about that. Because we get to the place in our lives where we don't think about that. But sin always has consequences. Always. Okay? And so He's talking about the consequences of sin. And He says there's going to be a consequence on the earth. And there's going to be a consequence for Adam. And there's going to be a consequence for Eve. And Satan, there's definitely going to be a consequence for you. Because you're the one that led them into this. Now, Satan was cursed. And the earth was cursed. And then watch this. Adam and Eve, the man and the woman, were both promised sorrow. Both promised sorrow. The earth was cursed. And Satan was cursed. And then Adam and Eve, man and woman, were both promised sorrow. He said, Adam, you're going to experience sorrow as you labor and toil all your life to make a living. You're going to have to do that living on a cursed earth. And truly that has been man's curse. He has to toil to make a living to provide for his family. Then He said to Eve, the woman is going to experience sorrow as she brings forth children. Now, without going into detail, a mixed audience, most in this room know the difficulty that a woman has as they reach a certain age on a monthly basis, the discomfort that goes along with how the woman is made up, and that's uncomfortable, somewhat of sorrow. And then any woman who has brought forth a child and any husband who has been with his wife as she birthed a child know, that man, that woman, they know the sorrow of childbirth. Now, modern technology has attempted to take the edge off of sorrow in both cases. The man was cursed. He said, you're going to have sorrow as you toil all your life with a cursed earth. You're going to sweat and labor, and man, you're going to sweat blood, and sometimes working so hard, and you're going to have sorrow. Now, technology's tried to take the edge off the sorrow. The farmer today has heated cabs for his tractor in the cold weather. He has air conditioned cab in the hot weather. He's got a GPS in there. They say those GPSs, those big farms, all they got to do is get in that tractor program, the right coordinates in, and just sit back. They can basically just sit back, cross their arms, and that tractor's guided down the field, turned around, and guided back all day long. The GPS takes that tractor back and forth. Anybody for being a farmer? Huh? That's a whole lot different following that horse behind that plow, huh? Yes, sir. Can you imagine that? Program that thing, plug in the right coordinates, and back and forth all day long. In heat or air conditioning and a video, whatever you want to play to watch to keep yourself occupied. Now, technology's tried to take the edge off the curse when man tried to, this is what God said, you're going to have to toil and labor with a cursed earth. Now, a woman, how's technology taken the edge off the sorrow for a woman? Well, a woman who goes to have a baby can now get an epidural, if she chooses, and other medical advancements that somewhat, I said somewhat, ladies, don't throw rocks at me, okay? I said somewhat alleviates the sorrow of childbirth. But we all understand the work and the sweat and the toil of the labor for a man, or the labor that a woman goes through that's involved in childbirth, is the result of what took place in the Garden of Eden when man sinned against God. Now, the truth is, every time a woman goes through the difficulty of childbirth, it is a picture of the sorrow that sin brought into this world. I mean, ladies, could you speculate? You probably can't even speculate what birthing a child might be like if there'd ever never been a curse. It might be as easy as, I don't know, but because it's not that way. But if there had never been sin, and God had never cursed the earth, and God had never promised woman, the Eve, that she would bear children through much sorrow, it would be a totally different ball game. But sin was committed, God was disobeyed, and now listen, every time a woman goes into labor to birth a child, it is a reminder of the sorrow that sin brought into this world. The sweat, the toil, the labor of birthing a child is a reminder every time it happens. How often are children born? And every time, it's a reminder of the sorrow that sin brought into this world. And by the way, friend, sin did bring sorrow into this world. The Bible mentions sorrow of heart, and the Bible mentions sorrow of mind, and the Bible mentions sorrow because of sickness, and the Bible mentions sorrow because of death, and the Bible mentions sorrow all the way to the grave. There has never been a life, there will never be a life that is not touched by sorrow in some way on this earth. It's a consequence of sin. And every time a mother goes into the delivery process to birth a child into this world, it is a picture of the time that God was disobeyed and sin came into the world and sin brought sorrow into the world. God told the woman that her sorrow would be multiplied. And that's true about the result of sin. The sorrows that sin creates are multiplied. Sometimes I drive down 102 on my way to Kankakee or Bradley, and I pass by Clancy Gurnon Funeral Home over here, and the parking lot is filled with cars. And as I drive by, I realize those folks aren't there having a party. Those folks aren't there because something wonderful happened. Those folks are there because something sorrowful took place. A loved one or a friend has passed away. Sometimes I'll stop at Walgreens to get my Foyd picture or something like that to get my Foyd card renewed. And I was the other day, a month ago, six weeks ago, and got my picture. And as I stood there taking my picture, glanced down the long aisle, and there's the pharmacy section back there. And the pharmacy section was stacked up with people. And then behind where the pharmacist works are those trays with bags and bags and bags and bags and bags of medicine ready to be picked up. People aren't coming there to the pharmacy because they're having a good time. People are coming to the pharmacy because in some way their life has been touched with sickness. A lot of times it creates sorrow. Sorrow. I visit members of our church in the hospital, like I did George Feast this week. And I look down, as I walk down the hallway, going to the elevator. And here's the family lounge on a different part of the floor. And here's a Hispanic family. And there's an older Hispanic man leaning up against the wall. And little huddles of Hispanic people in hushed tones. And the Hispanic man, his tears are there. And people are with him. And they're comforting him. Because there's obviously a loved one in some kind of circumstance that's not enjoyable. In the hospital, sorrow has touched a life. I drive by these counseling centers. And I sometimes go to the second floor at Riverside and visit people who are there. And here you have the psychiatrist and the psychologist sometimes trying to help children deal with the sorrow of having a parent depart them in divorce. And on I could go. And I'm out of time. But I could talk about the multiplied sorrows that people on this planet experience. And friend, every sorrow, including the sorrow that a woman experiences as she goes through the birthing process to bring the child into the world, all of those sorrows are a picture of the time that sin brought sorrow into this world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And God had to pronounce a curse upon the earth and Adam and Eve and Satan, all because of sin. Sorrow after sorrow after sorrow after sorrow after sorrow. And every time a mother goes into labor and delivery, it is a reminder that sin has brought sorrow into this world. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story. I'm glad that's only part of the picture. That's only half of the story. Because if I would have you turn this morning, I won't for sake of time. If I'd have you turn to John chapter 16, verse 21. Here is what Jesus said. Now listen carefully. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But now listen. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Did you hear what Jesus said? Jesus said when her hour comes, she has sorrow. And that sorrow is a reminder of the sorrow that sin brought into this world. That's why she's having that sorrow. Because of sin. But as soon as the child is born, as soon as the child comes, pardon me, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man or a child is born into the world. You mothers have experienced it. You dads have witnessed it. The birthing process is filled with sorrow and in some cases tears and much pain and much difficulty. So the birthing process itself is a sorrowful experience. But as soon as the baby comes, as soon as the baby is birthed, instantly the sorrow of the birthing process is changed and is replaced by the joy that the child brings into the life. I know I was there all six times. I was able to be there all six times. I never had one of those experiences where I was called away at the time of delivery. And some men just can't help it. But I was privileged to be there all six times. And I watched as my dear wife, remember the first time, baby, I thought, my goodness, in the long drawn out hours, hours and hours of the birthing process. And oh my goodness. And boy, I even began to get concerned at one point. And then they came a little, I'm going to use the word easier, but that's a relative term, all right? They came a little easier, baby two and three, four, five, and they came quicker and quicker. And I thought, man, when number six is about ready to be born, if number five took this long, number six is going to come just like that, just a piece of cake, right, ladies? Amen. And I got down there on that morning of October 23rd, and she went into labor, and I thought, okay, you know, it's got to be 45 minutes. And 45 minutes turned into an hour turned into two, and two turned into four. And all day long. and I'll be discreet and I will not be inappropriate, but I watched her again. Time number six. Great beads of perspiration popped out on her forehead. I watched the toil and the labor and the sorrow of child number six. But just like the previous five times, as soon as that doctor held up that little one and said, "It's a girl, and here she is," and laid her over on her mother's formerly swollen belly, all of a sudden that sweat and that toil and labor was at least somewhat forgotten about because of the joy that seeing that little one brought to her heart and brought to my heart. And friend, that's, you know, where the birthing process reminds us of the sorrow of sin, the child itself reminds us that God sent His child into this world one day to turn sorrow into joy for mankind. And that's the truth. That's exactly. You get this verse in the Old Testament that talks about the fact that the birthing process is going to be a sorrowful process and a painful process and a process of toil and labor. And it's a reminder. Those are all the products of sin. Those are all the consequences of sin. But when that baby is delivered, and the joy and the tears and the excitement and the thrill, that is a picture of the child that God sent into this world so that sorrow, the sorrow of sin, could be replaced with the joy of salvation. That's exactly the truth. God sent His Son. God sent His child into the world to deliver mankind from the sorrow of sin and replace it with the joy of salvation. Think about it. From Genesis chapter 3, when God talked about the sorrow that would come through childbirth to every woman who brought a child into this world. Think about it. For all those years, 4,000 years, every baby that was birthed during those 4,000 years was a reminder of the fact that somebody sinned against God and started this whole thing, and we've disobeyed God, and the sorrow and the labor and the toil and the tears and the agony that come from sin as a result of sin. And all the way through the Old Testament, mankind just diving deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sorrow, and the travail of that sorrow got more difficult and more difficult. And for 400 years, God never said a word. God never spoke to anybody. For 400 years, no revelation of God. None. And man's plunging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sorrow. Just like the woman who goes deeper and deeper into travail, the closer she gets to the delivery. And then, when you hit the New Testament, just a few little short time, a few months after getting into the New Testament, then the child is born. We celebrate it on December 25th. And the child is God's Son, His only begotten Son, with God's blood flowing in His veins. And now the world can rejoice because God has sent the answer. This child will replace the sorrow of sin with the joy of salvation. That's exactly what took place. You think about it, those of you that have been in that delivery room, the work and the sweat and the labor and the toil and the crying and the pain and the sorrow, and then the joy comes, then the child comes, and now there's joy and laughter and smiles and phone calls and pictures and amazement. And how quickly sorrow is displaced by joy, because the child came. The sorrow of sin in our lives can be turned into joy when you and I take the child as our Savior. And that's the truth. And I might be talking to somebody here this morning. Maybe you've had church experience. Maybe not. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe not. Maybe you've taken communion. Maybe not. But I know one thing about you. You've been touched by the sorrow of sin somehow. Every person in this room, And probably we have been touched, all of us, by the sorrow of sin multiplied times. And I want to tell you, the only answer to replacing that sorrow with joy is the child that was born in Bethlehem's manger. He didn't stay in that manger. He carried a cross up an old hill. And he laid down on it. And he gave his life to die for the sins of mankind. To die for the sin that he never committed. And friend, after dying on that cross, they took his body down, put it in that grave. And 3 days and three nights later, he walked out to prove that he was the Son of God with power. Listen very carefully. I am not a health and wealth preacher. I don't believe that's taught in the Bible. Come to Jesus and all your troubles will be over. I won't say that. Come to Jesus, you won't have any more problems. I wouldn't tell you that. And by the way, that's not a good hook to use. But I'll tell you this. You come to Jesus Christ, you receive that little child born in that manger who grew up to die on that cross and was buried in that tomb and walked out victorious. You receive him as your personal Savior. And I'll give you this promise. Someday, all your sorrow will be turned into joy. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4, and there shall be no more sorrow. That means the funeral homes are going to have to close up shop. And some of you folks that work at the hospital are going to be out of a job. And if you dispense pills and medicine over at the pharmacy, you're not going to have anything to do. No? Because God's going to, and those psychiatrists and psychologists won't be necessary. There won't be any sorrow of mind. There won't be any sorrow of heart. There won't be sorrow. There won't be any sorrow to the grave because there'd be no grave. All sorrow will be replaced, displaced by joy. So every time a mother goes into delivery, that process of delivery, filled with sorrow, is a reminder that this world is cursed because of sin. But when the child is born and the joy that floods your heart, that's a reminder that God sent His child, that all sorrow could be taken away. And I won't promise you an easy road if you get saved, but I'll promise you this much. You'll have an edge on that sorrow. Salvation, excuse me, takes the edge off that sorrow. It does. Takes the edge off of it. Takes the edge off of it now, and one day it'll take it away forever. So I thought about that this week. When God replaced sorrow with joy, the birthing process full of sorrow, and then the child, joy. And Jesus was God's child, who was the answer to the sorrow of sin. I hope you've experienced that in your life. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you again for all these little children and these little ones, Lord, that represent being born into the church or born into the families within the last year. What a joy to see them come through and put a smile on our face. But thank you most of all for your child, for Jesus, who was born to replace and displace sorrow. And God, we sinned against you, and you could have left us to deal with our sorrow forever. But instead, you sent your child. And all the joy that the child brings to a life. I pray for anybody this morning, Lord, that's not saved. I pray that today might be the day of their salvation. I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to the heart, and we'll thank you for it.